Speaking today with Criselda Romero, who is a candidate for City Council in the new District J. Criselda, the first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
I'm running for this office because I am a proud product of District J. I grew up here in the community. I went to J. Long Middle School, went to Robert E. Lee High School, and graduated from Sharpstown High School. I understand the struggles that our families are experiencing. I understand the need to connect our communities to city government. I want to use the experience at working at City Hall back to my community and make sure that District J has a bright future for this generation and for future generations. And so that is what our need to run for City Council for this new district in Southwest Houston.
Now, you currently work for Councilmember Ed Gonzalez as, I believe, community liaison.
I'm a council aide,
but
I also serve as a community liaison for some of the areas that he covers in district.
And how would you say that experience would benefit you as a member of council?
You know, as a council aide, at the office, we get several calls, constituent calls, regarding issues with city government, city services. We also, as a community liaison, I also serve in the East End and the near North Side, and so I'm out in the community a lot. I'm speaking with businesses and community and seeing how government can work for them. I serve on the Near North Side Healthy Community Partnership, which is a consortium of 30 organizations, health organizations, and one of the items that we are trying to tackle in the Near North Side is healthcare services. Through that partnership, I've been able to bring healthcare services to the community, and that's been very successful. We did our second Dia de la Mujer Latina there during the summer, and so we are bridging those gaps in the community, and the only way you could do that is by really being out there in the community and speaking with what the concerns are. For every area, there's different concerns. In order to be able to be active, it's to understand those issues and be able to have a plan of action on how to best resolve those. And so I've worked with communities, I work with community organizations, I work with stakeholders in resolving everyday issues and also looking at ways in which we can improve the quality of life of our residents. And so that is very beneficial because this is exactly what I would be doing in my community. And to be able to do that is phenomenal. And so I'm so happy to see the creation of District J here in Southwest, in which I can do what I do now, but to do it in my community.
Well, J, as we say, is a new district.
Yes.
What do you see as being the primary needs for this new district?
In speaking with a lot of the residents and neighbors and community leaders here in District J, one of the key things that I wanted to do when I first launched my candidacy for District J was to understand what are some of the items that are in the works, what are some of the things that we are tackling at the moment, and also what are some of the issues that have not been tackled. And so being out there in the community, I can tell you that public safety continues to be a number one priority for District J. I'm happy to report that we do have ongoing monthly meetings with the management districts, with the constables on patrol, with HPD storefronts, and also with our leasing managers. We have open discussions, open dialogues about some of the issues that come up and how to best task those. And so in situations in which we do have meetings that are ongoing and tackling these difficult decisions, I want to promote that and empower us to continue to have that open dialogue, because I think that is key in understanding what the issues are, what has worked and what has not worked. So public safety, that is one of our biggest issues here. The other issue that I come across in just speaking with neighbors is not understanding how city government works, not understanding the 311 system. And so I think that is a big component in connecting our residents to understand how city government works, but also for them to be able to participate in city government. And so I think that if we have a community that is not familiar with city government, they will be afraid to use it. So if they have an everyday issue with, let's say, a heavy trash complaint, well, we can simply call 311, it gets transferred over to the solid waste department, and then if that does not resolve, and sometimes I hear the case that 311 is not as responsive, or I didn't get a call back, I didn't get a reference number, well, that's where your city council office becomes very important. You can contact your city council office and let them know that this was an issue that you had, you called 301, this is a service request, and you want to know where the status update is at. So I think linking what city does with how it's beneficial to your everyday concerns that residents have is very important, and it's key. And I want to make sure that District J understands what a city council member does, how the city council office functions, and the resources that the city government has to resolve a lot of the issues that they have, that they possibly don't know that they do have and don't know how to connect them, don't know how to reach city government.
Okay. Jay was created as a result of the redistricting that was done this year. Would you say you were satisfied with the process that the city used to draw the new council boundaries?
I will say that the process at City Hall, remember when it first came out, redistricting process, many were fearful of the process and felt that it could be very ugly when we're talking about redrawing the boundaries lines. And with our population growth, we, of course, had to create two new districts. And I want to say that the process, I was very happy with the process. I think it is a good example of how city government should function. The mayor presented a redistricting proposed plan. The community was not in agreement with the plan, and so we opened the table for discussion. We had residents, community leaders, community organizations come out to public session to speak on the matter. We had public hearings. We had public meetings. And soon after much discussion and going over different proposed plans that the community was able to present as well, City Council and the mayor adopted the revised redistricting plan. And so I think that the process itself was very transparent from day one. It was engaging and engaged the community. And I say it's a good model. It's a good model to follow. And I think that the process, I was very happy with how the process ended.
Okay. Obviously, the issue that has dominated at City Hall in recent months and whatnot is the budget, the shortfall that the city has had with its revenues. City Council recently passed a budget that included $100 million in cuts and laying off about 740 so employees. What is your assessment of the latest budget that City Council passed?
I think that, you know, the budget was something very difficult that we had to see where we could reduce costs. Any inefficiencies that we had, we were able to identify those. I want to say that this was the first time at City Hall that we were able to have workshops with the departments as specifically break down the line items that we would see in the budget as far as where the costs were going and for what core costs they were going to core services. And so this was the first time looking at the budget and reviewing the budget at City Hall, we were able to identify where some of these costs were going to. And so that allowed us to look at some of the inefficiencies. And so as a result, we tried to streamline some of the services. Unfortunately, we did have to lay off a large number of city employees. That was very difficult. I want to say that I think that this administration understands that we need to keep spending in line with our revenues. And so I want to say that they are moving in the right direction and thinking that, you know, we are limited to the revenues that the city is getting. And so keeping that in mind is that we need to be responsible as far as where the taxpayer monies are going. And so, I think that, yes, it was difficult cuts that we had to make. I think moving forward, that is something that we would still need to go back and make sure that a couple of the items that we, the goals that we made, that we don't overspend, and that once we start to see tax revenues and you know, a increase in that is that we're not so quick in spending that money, that extra revenue, that we save it in case for, you know, future projects that we need, and particularly like the police academy cadet classes. You know, so I want to say that I think that we need to, before quickly spending something, we need to just kind of save it and see as far as where the city is, economically is that, so that way we can prepare for future and long term.
If the next year's budget, if the next year's projection for city's revenue shows that it is continuing to fall short of current expenditures, do you think more cuts are needed, or do you think it's time for the city to start looking for more revenue? In other words, do you think there's room for more cuts? What is the baseline level of service?
You know, I think that this time around, just looking at the budget, I think that was something very difficult to identify where we were and how far in the cuts we went. And I think that one of the good things that we need to do is to keep all options on the table. I do believe that we should have further discussions as to, you know, if the next budget year, if we do not see a change or we still come across some challenging times, that we have some solutions to that. We don't have to wait to get to that point. I think that we as a city must prepare and have a backup plan as well. Of course, you know, we cannot dip into our piggy bank as we have done before. And so I think that itself is an indicator that we need to plan ahead, and we need to understand that the decisions that come at City Council, that they impact the city and the residents, and where the money is going. And so I want to make sure that moving forward is that we understand not just short term what this does, but long term as well, and prepare for that.
Okay. One of the issues that Council has been dealing with lately has been Rebuild Houston, which was known as Renew Houston before the election. Did you vote for the Renew Houston proposition?
I did. I think that Rebuild Houston is a good step in where we go as a pay-as-you-go to fund some of the street and road improvements, also to deal with the flooding issues that we have with the city. I think that the CIP, as far as long-term, was not adequate in funding, and this will allow us to improve on our aging infrastructure. And I think that aging infrastructure is something to keep in mind, because it is a very important that we keep our roads smooth and running, and that we are able to grow, because it helps with neighborhood development, it helps with businesses growing as well, and I think something that we might not every day see as something that needs to be fixed, because it's not something that we see visually unless you're in a neighborhood in that which you experience a lot of difficulties, because you might not have a proper drainage system or your streets are not in the best driving conditions. I think those are issues that the city, we need to make sure that we get them addressed, and that people can actually move from one part of the town to the other part of town, and that we are promoting an infrastructure that is great for economic growth.
There have been some bumps in the road, if you will, in rolling out the Rebuild Houston project. You know, what's your assessment of how things have gone so far?
With the implementation, as with anything that the city rolls out, there will be kinks to it. And I think that when that happens, is that we need to be open, and we need to hear the community input to understand how any item, any program that is passed, how it has an impact. If there's a negative impact on any community, I think it's important for us to know about it and see how best we can come to a workable solution. I understand that, you know, it wasn't very easy, but I think that we're going through those kinks now, and I think that we are moving towards a good direction, and I think that we'll see long-term the success of the implementation of this new program.
Did you agree or disagree with the decision to exempt schools and churches from the Rebuild Houston fee?
My understanding of the program initially was that we would not be exempting. And so when we do exempt any organization or any individuals, then the cost would be incurred into others. And so my concern would be if we do exemptions, where would we fill in that gap, that funding gap? And I think that is something that the mayor is currently finding or trying to bridge that gap. I understand with the schools, with their budget, and I also understand with the churches and the services that they do provide to the community, and that sometimes when the city is unfortunately unable to provide the outreach that the churches do, and we have churches also that provide other services to the community, like a food pantry, or so I understand the need, or but I think what was good is that we heard, and in doing so, there was an exemption. I think now we just have to plan that exemption into the implementation of the program and how that would be funded long term, and with the goal of improving our streets and roads and improving the flooding concerns that we have.
Okay. Obviously, another issue has been the red light cameras. Did you vote to keep the red light cameras or to get rid of them?
I voted to keep the red light cameras. I believe that the red light cameras over time would, we would have seen a difference in our driving as far as behavior.
Okay. Do you agree or disagree with Mayor Parker's decision to keep the camera, to turn the cameras on pending the resolution of the legal case?
I disagree with going against the people's will. I understand that the mayor turned the cameras back on to save the city from liability and further debt. I do believe that, you know, the city recently asked for permission to appeal. I don't know where we are legally with the appeal, but I do think that it is a good idea to continue discussions with ATS and with our legal department so that we are prepared if our appeal is unsuccessful, that we also are looking at ways in which we can find a resolution that will honor the will of the people.
So you would prefer the city work towards a settlement to get out from the contract with ATS?
I would say that would be an option for them to look into. I don't know where the appeal is at, so I think that's something that we should consider. Yes, because at the end of the day, I do believe that the will of the people did not want the lights on, and so I think that we should honor that.
Okay. How would you assess Mayor Parker in her first term in office?
I think Mayor Parker, first term in office, is very challenging. I commend her for her strong leadership and openness to work with City Council and residents. I like the idea, her approach, and how in tackling some of these issues, that she's not looking at just short-term resolutions, but she's looking at short-term in line with long-term. And I think that is a good approach in looking at some of these challenges that we have.
Okay. And if you were to be elected, you know, what would you say would be the first thing you'd want to work on?
The first thing that I would want to work on is ensuring that I have community liaisons in the areas to inform my residents of my office and the work that we do, and how we can help them and get them connected to city services. That would be the first thing that I would want to do as a councilwoman, is making sure that my communities understand the role that I take and the role that our office takes and how it can help their everyday issues.
And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote for you to be the first council member from District J?
They should vote for me because I'm a proud product of District J. Again, I know the struggles and challenges that our families are experiencing. I know the need to connect our communities to city government. I want to bring the experience that I've gained at City Hall to my community, and I want to continue to foster strong and healthy communities. And I hope that they can see the experience that I bring to the table, the energy, the commitment, the ability to do the job from day one.
Okay. Okay. Griselda Romero, thank you very much for talking to me today.